You're listening to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. And my co-host has gone walkabout again. Jules has gone missing. She's on holiday. But do not fear. We have the luscious, lovely Linda.
Oh, thank you.
Linda Cloak, who is actually a guest on the show, but because she's a broadcast...
Extraordinaire,
yeah, that's a good word. I wasn't going to use extraordinaire. I don't know what word I was going to use. I was going to use some word. She's an experienced broadcaster, and she has very kindly offered to also co-host the show as well as being a guest in the second half. Linda, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited.
It's a pleasure to see you, as always. What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been busy. Life
have
busy
you?
Saturday.
Right.
Went to a community fair on Sunday.
Right.
And actually, Jules would have liked it there. There was food there. Nice cakes, really tasty.
And where was this?
It was in Edenwood Place.
On Bluebell Hill. Yes, yeah.
So they've turned into an events venue now.
Mm.
And, yeah, it was really good. And then we went for Sunday lunch in the Robin Hood.
Blimey.
So, yeah, busy.
You've been busy. And I bumped into you a week or so ago at the Ashford and Canterbury Business Awards.
That's right, yes. I was there with Ali Young.
With the lovely Ali Young, who's my corporate lawyer. Yeah.
She's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, she is.
An amazing lady she is.
Yeah, she is.
She's got some really interesting stuff going on, you know.
Absolutely,
to help new businesses.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, as I said, Ali's my lawyer. And one of the things I love about Ali, apart from the fact that she really knows her stuff, is she's not like an old stuffed shirt, grey-suited lawyer.
No.
She's much more dynamic than that. She's really good. I've got a lot of time for Ali. But the awards dinner was great, wasn't it? 220 people there.
Yeah, lovely.
It was very busy.
Roast dinner and yeah, really interesting people there. Really innovative, I thought, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt a bit overdressed.
Really? Mm. Well, I was wearing it because I was a compere. I was in a DJ. I was the only one.
Well, in the day, it used to be everyone being evening dresses, wouldn't they? And lots of sparklies and lots of heels.
Yeah.
And I was in my long sparkly and my heels, and I looked around and it was... wasn't quite like that.
Yeah, no, people turning up in shorts and speedos and all kinds and flip-flops. Yeah.
It was really
not
strange.
Quite, but, you know.
I wondered if I was in the right place to start off with. But, I mean, you know, the content was absolutely brilliant.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic night, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really good.
Hey, listen, we want to hear from you lot out there in the world of business. So you can get in contact with us in all the normal ways. Best way to do it, actually, is via Twitter. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb, or you can tweet Linda at LindaCloak.
That's right, yeah.
On Twitter, and use the hashtag BBunker so that we can find your tweet, because we've had a few hundred tweets already. So do tweet us. If you can't tweet us, then you can drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk, but we'd love to hear from you no matter what. I'll tell you what, Linda, what should we do first? I'll tell you what, do you want to read an email?
I'll read
go for it.
Okay, so are you a standout small business that
has achieved
constant growth? Maidstone Tunbridge Wells Business Awards 2022 offer enter for free now. So the categories are creative digital, customer service, innovation, startup, small business, businesswoman of the year.
Whoa, you could enter most of these categories, to be honest, Linda.
I could. Innovation.
And you're based in Maidstone, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Family business.
There you go, yeah.
Construction business. Maybe not that one. Full details.
Well, you've got to let somebody else win.
Full details and entry form here at businessawardskent.co.uk.
Yeah, the closing date, I think, sometime in October.
It hasn't got that here, actually.
Yeah, no, I just happen to know because I'm comparing the show, so I know when it finishes. And it's the awards dinner for Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells is a joint one, and it's in December, which is going to be a laugh because we're going to clash with all the Christmas parties, aren't we?
We will. I mean, the great thing I think there is the, you know, all of the credibility that people get when they go up on the stage. Even if they're not winners, they are winners, aren't
they? Absolutely, yeah.
So,
yeah. It's you're absolutely right. You know, it's one of those big things about awards. They're one of the best pieces of marketing you can do, because winning an award, you know, it's like having testimonials on, you know, Trustpilot or whatever, you know, but it gives you all the credibility. It's also, you know, nice to win an award and to celebrate having an award. And there's lots of marketing opportunities normally if the award is done properly. There's lots of marketing opportunities based on being a finalist or a winner. So
Well, even attending. I mean, through attending, we've made loads more contacts on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And when you bump into people again at chamber events or BNI events or any of those networking events, you find that you're already linked to them.
So I mean, I'm famous for being really well connected in the business world in Kent, but the amount of businesses that come into these awards that I've not heard of or didn't know were there, and you think, wow, and some of them are just really stunning businesses, and you think, wow, I didn't even know about that, you know, because they're in niches that you don't naturally come across because it's not your niche. But there's some fantastic businesses. I mean, we had a guest on last week who won the overall East Kent Business of the Year, which was Tuition Extra, and Ruth from Tuition was a guest on the show last week talking about their business, which was a business I'd never heard of before, and it's a fabulous business, really quite a substantial business based in Canterbury,
and offering it's all types, isn't it, as well. I mean, what about the pizza making business?
Yeah, exactly.
So different, you wouldn't, you know, think that they'd go in for something, but they were amazing.
Yeah. Well, they're on the show in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, I'm hoping they're bringing pizza with them.
Yeah,
cool. I've had some tweets, and I'm going to read a couple of them now. The lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, and they say, good morning, Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Linda. We hope you have a... They said good morning, because Steph, who does the social media for us, is in South Africa. Yeah. good morning, Vanilla Webb and Linda. We hope you have a smashing Business Bunker day and show. We would love a shout-out, if possible. Thank you for building our community the way you do. That's Michael Park Surveyors. They're property specialists for London and the South East. We work with the largest financial institutions in the country, as well as local landlords and tenants. They're based over in Medway. MPSL is their Twitter handle. Do give them a follow on Twitter. What else?
Lovely Tracy, who always tweets, doesn't she?
Tracy Ferguson, yeah.
Yes, yeah. She's just replied to us and said, you know, have a great show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, she's off to Norfolk to celebrate her son's birthday. So a big happy birthday to Tracy's son. And she said she's going to catch up on the listen again when she can. So thank you for that, Tracy. What else have we got
Lisa
here?
Lisa said about Jules swigging sangria in the sun. You're absolutely right, Lisa. That's exactly what she's doing.
That was for breakfast, though.
Yeah.
She was having she's having a jug of sangria for breakfast. Yeah. I'm sure when she sobers up in a minute, she'll probably tweet in. Oh, here we go. Vanilla Web, Potter's Home Digital, Linda, and loads of other people have a great Business Funk show. Lovely old Vanilla Web. We're in Valencia the last 2 days, and she's given me a picture of sardines, which is always useful.
Yes, I saw that. And Neville Gaunt has said he's in Norfolk for his eldest son's birthday, so he looks forward to catching up with the show when it's replayed. And he said, have a fantastic show, everyone.
Fantastic.
Great man, Neville.
And the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. It's Tuesday. Summer has arrived and the Business Bunker is on the airwaves today. It's a win-win for every small business, so thank you for that. That's Chips and Dinks, who will basically repair just about anything, but especially the stuff you do to your car, like curbing your alloys or scratching your paintwork. I've got this that I want to tell you about. Firms involved in importing and exporting can attend a free event in Maidstone. Business Advisors and Accountants Crow is hosting its second international trade discussion group on Wednesday, July the 13th. That's manana. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Wednesday the 13th is tomorrow. Yes. Specialists from its tax team will join a guest speaker from the Department of International Trade in providing an update on the latest customs and tax issues at the firm's offices in the High Street. Those invited to attend include business owners and finance directors of firms involved in trading internationally. The event starts at 9 a.m. and concludes at 11:45. And to register and to find out more information, if you go to www.crow.co.uk, crow.co.uk, if you're interested in going tomorrow to an exporting event.
Shall I read this one?
Yeah, go for it.
So the reason I want to is because you've got Stuart Weller is going to be there with his magic. And
Stu.
Yes.
Stu the magician.
Doing
yeah.
An event for me on the 29th of July.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to be celebrating my birthday.
I was going to say that's your birthday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're 40, aren't you?
Yes, again. Yeah. So each time you attend a meeting, this is to you, Paul. Mm. Each time you attend a meeting of Marsh Network, you make a donation to charity. We support Calm, who support older people living in isolation on Romney Marsh. My friend lives in Romney Marsh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm going. The Oliver Kerr Trust, who provide caravan holidays for bereaved families who have lost young children, and from money raised our main events, we will also make a donation to Child Aid Eastern Europe, who support children in Ukraine and Moldova. Our first charity event is this year, and it's a family day on the 17th of July at Lyd Golf Club. For golfers, we will have 18 holes followed by a barbecue, and for family and supporters, a barbecue-only ticket is available. We'll also have a short quiz before giving prize for golf achievements. Stuart Weller is astounding us with his magic. Tickets for golf and barbecue are only available to book at www.marshnetwork.co.uk. Scroll down to the homepage to Lyd Golf Club, click on select and choose which ticket you want and take it from there. They're also looking for raffle prizes, so if anyone's got something they can give, can they please email terry@botfield.net or alison@thecomputerpeoplelimited.co.uk. See you there.
Fantastic. You can follow Terry on a Twitter. I happen to know his Twitter handle off by heart because it's one that amuses me. It's TD Botty.
TD Botty. Very good.
Give him a follow on Twitter, TD Botty. That's fantastic. That's really good. Yeah. I was going to say something. I was going to say something to you about Romney Marsh, but I don't know now. Oh, you're going to stay on Romney Marsh soon, aren't you?
I'm going down. I'm going down there from here. I'm going down to stay with my friend. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's down there? So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. Nice.
Yeah.
There's some days by the sea.
Yeah, there's some lovely beaches there.
Yes, I know. There's some hidden gems, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. Yeah. Mm. The towns. Yeah, not here, not there. But the beaches are lovely. St Mary's Base, I believe.
They've got some nice restaurants and things, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. Well, because we used to be based there with a radio station for many years. So, yeah. Cool. Okay, I want to tell you about this. This is interesting. A company which specialises in the acoustics of buildings is to build a £4 million new complex on the site of a former cement works in Medway. Oscar Acoustics is currently based in West Kingsdown. It will move its headquarters to the new site once work is complete, having outgrown its home. The 44-year-old company, which describes itself as architectural acoustic experts, will build on the former Cemex site east of Thornbury Road in Hallin. So it sounds like they're growing and moving into new headquarters. So we wish you much success with your new building.
We've just had a text here from Terry Roffey. And right. He said, hi, Paul, and your guest host, Linda Cloak. Say hi to Alex from Potter's Home Digital. We have worked with them both. Thank you for your support. Shout out from me and Brooke Security. Hope Jules is enjoying her time in the sun. And hope you have a great show at Brooke Security.
Well, thank you, Terry. Terry does all my security as well, both my domestic and my office stuff. And supplies Fruitworks, my place in Canterbury, with all of our access. Member access. So great stuff. Thank you, Terry. I'm going to do a few more tweets. Paragon Drones, Hi Paul, home entertainment and social media and great music. No better way to spend a Tuesday afternoon. Good luck flying without Jules. We know the feeling. And they say, hashtag Business Bunker, hashtag Cheesy Tunes. Yeah, coming up soon. Coming up soon on Cheesy Tunes. Jules is saying, yeah, we're having a restful time. Haven't got dressed in 2 weeks. Well, that's no change, is it? I mean, And she says Darcy's been eating plums. Well, you'd have to know that Darcy's her dog.
Well, she's taking him on holiday.
I don't think she has.
Oh.
I think, I don't know how she's been eating plums. The lovely folks at our friendly station, radio station up in Spalding in Lincolnshire, Sound of Spitfire, say, great show, guaranteed on the Business Bunker today at 1 p.m. listening. Thank you. And what else have we got here? We got, Athelbray. Athelbray, Kate and Keith have literally got back from holiday yesterday morning. They've been doing a tour of Alaska. So I think the weather's going to be a little bit different, isn't it, from where they've been. They say, anyway, have a great afternoon on the show. Hope you've got your aircon on in the studio. We're listening in unless the jet lag gets us first. Fortunately, there's always the listen again. So welcome home. I saw some of the photographs you posted of your journeys through Alaska. It looked like you had a fabulous time. So welcome home. That's the lovely folks from Athelbray. They're a management training company based in Paddock Wood. You can follow them on Twitter at Athelbray LTD. Athelbray LTD is their Twitter handle. They just said, oh, thank you for that. It's a tad warmer here than it was in Alaska. Oh, now, see, Jules has started with her greyhound eating plums, so now Terry's got to join in with his greyhound, hasn't he? He said Casey has been eating charcoal.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. What do you do with them, eh?
I don't have any dogs. I do have Elle's two cats in our house.
Right. What are they called?
Tinker and Belle. Tinkerbell.
Blimey.
So the boy is Tinker, and it suits him. And the girl is Belle.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got a little outhouse for them. So I put them out there and she brings them in. I put them out, she brings them in. A bit like the Flintstones.
Haven't you got cat flap?
No, they're not. They're indoor cats.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so they're in the house.
That's useless, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're listening now.
The lovely Kim Stevens has been on from Caring Kent. I'd love a with a heart, a throbbing heart. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others, would make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. If you do and they'd like to work with us, call Amy today on Ashford 01233 619530. That's 01233 619530. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Caring Kent. If you'd like to look at a career in caring in the Ashford area, then you can follow Kim and the crew on Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Care in Kent, not surprisingly, or you can call them on that number. What you got, Lynn?
That's brilliant. I can't see anything else, to be honest.
See, people forget to put the hashtag, and that makes it very difficult to find.
It does. I've got one here. Oh, that's somebody actually talking about We Do Social Media, so that's...
Well, you can tell us. What have they got to say about We Do Social Media?
It's the IT Trust Assurance Limited, and they're saying, why you should have a professional headshot. Having a professional headshot can change your business. It goes much deeper than you think.
Absolutely. And IT Trust Assurance are a whistleblowing specialist, aren't they? They have a Speak Up app, which is really fantastic.
Okay.
Nick, who's the chief executive there, has really, really made a difference with iTrust Assurance. It, with not just the app, but the consulting they do. He's ex-police force, and his job with the police was looking after witnesses. And, you know, so many people are terrified of coming forward with things because of the ramifications. So he started a whole business, iTrust Assure, that helps people remain anonymous while... you know, getting their story out there. And they've developed an app called Speak Up. And the app is absolutely brilliant because it's useful in any number of ways, not just for whistleblowing, because it's a way of communicating with your people anonymously. I quite often tell the story of many years ago when I had a proper job. I worked for a big corporate and they did a huge exercise of finding out the staff's views on things. And honestly, it's anonymous, so you can tell us. And within 3 days of me spouting my nonsense, I got called upstairs to explain myself because they could identify who I was straight away.
Aww.
Yeah.
There's a couple more here I found, actually.
Yeah, good.
So Kevin Edmonds has said, hi, Paul, long time since we've had a mention. Hmm. So can you give a shout out for Real Print and Media in Maidstone, please? They are printers with passion. And also Martin Reeves said, I'd love a shout out please, Paul. I enjoy being part of our business community through Bee Bunker. Kind regards, Martin. And that's collectorsbuddy.org.uk.
Yeah, let me tell you about Collectors Buddy, because it's really interesting what Martin does. He buys collectibles and things like Lego and stuff like that from eBay and Etsy, and then sells them and donates the profits to charity.
Oh, that's lovely.
Is what he does, yeah. So give him a follow, Collectors Buddy. He's doing a fantastic job there.
I've just gone in and done that.
A former international table tennis player has set up a new human resource advice company serving firms in Medway. Matilda Stevens has set up a base for the HR department, Rochester and Chatham, and her offices are located in the historic dockyard. So good luck with that, Matilda. I hope you're very successful with that, and I'm sure you will be. Do you know what? We're going to play some cheesy tunage. Mm-hmm. This is a part of the show where I play a track that has one of the most tenuous links to our guests that you could possibly imagine. But it's always good fun. So let's kick this off. I wonder if you can guess what the track's going to be. It's Let Me Entertain You, of course.
Hell is calling, heaven's here. There's nothing left for you to fear. Shake your ass, come over here. Now scream. I'm a burning effigy of everything I used to be. You're my rock of empathy, my dear. So come on, let me
Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Hey, welcome back. That was the cheesy tunage. Let me entertain you, Robin Williams. See what I did there?
You did. Very clever.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, let me introduce our first guests on the show this week. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome on the show Lance Hopley and Alex Jones of Potter's Home Digital. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Let's kick off by getting you to tell us about Potter's Home Digital, what you do, a bit of, about the history of the firm, and then we'll kind of expand from there.
Okay, I'll start. So it's Lance here. Thanks for the opportunity to do my first ever radio show.
Oh, is it? No, it's brilliant. We love a virgin on here.
So I'm not quite sure how it's all going to come out, but I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Yeah. Might be easier to start with a little bit about the history, because it's obviously evolved dramatically from when it was first started in 1913.
Blimey, you don't look that old.
No. I wear well.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the Potter brothers. Mm. Their idea was, it was obviously just before the war, but it was a stage where people were beginning to spend money on leisure.
Right.
Tennis rackets, the like, golf clubs.
Right.
Buying cars.
Yeah.
So that's initially what they set out to do.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Having got to know lots of other consumer electronics retailers over the 40-odd years I've been in business, actually had a similar background from a family business. Mm. And then it evolved from there. So moving on a little bit from there, when after the war, radios and then eventually TVs, also coupled with selling albums and vinyl,
right? Okay.
Singles and obviously LPs, which is when I first got involved as a 14-year-old. That's what I was involved in selling.
Oh wow! Can I just ask you, Lance? Were they in Tenterson at that time?
Yes. Not always been in the same place. Only in two locations. It was at 49 High Street next to Webb's. For those that know Tenterden, but we moved to where we are opposite the recreation ground at East Cross in 1989.
Right, okay.
So, winding back a little bit, the Potter brothers sold the business to Mr. Pope in 1948. My father then went to work there as a trainee engineer. By then they were selling TVs, radios and the like. And he stayed there for the rest of his life, basically.
Right,
branching into the sales side in the 70s. My first year there was in 78. My father has sort of taken the business forward in terms of looking for new brands and new ideas.
Did your father own the business at this point?
No, he was still manager.
Right, okay.
He then became a partner in the late 70s.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, I worked there first of all as a Saturday boy.
Right, okay.
He was always looking for new opportunities. So going back to 1970, he was one of the first Sony dealers in the country.
Wow, okay.
And also Bang & Olufsen, so in the first literally handful of dealers to bring those brands in.
Right, okay.
So
and you're still a Bang & Olufsen dealer today,
are,
aren't you?
And, yeah. And a Sony, yep.
Oh, right, yep, okay, yep. Yeah, yeah.
And then in the late 70s, it was the very early days of video recorders, so he decided it would be a good idea to rent films. So we were the first, I think, in Kent. We used to have people come from Margate and rent what I could best describe as a Z-list movie.
I can imagine.
on Betamax and VHS.
Right,
So we've always tried, I think that's where, you know, the business has always moved to looking for new opportunities. And of course, you know, technology, things come and go. So sometimes you need to move on, you need to look for new opportunities.
Absolutely, you know, for a company starting in 1913, to try and sell TVs would have been a bit difficult, really, wouldn't it? But, you know, one of the beautiful things about this business is that you've adapted all the way through. We're going to talk about some of the things you've got going on in that field later on, but all the way through the history of this business for, over 100 years. It's been a series of adaptions to cater for whatever the zeitgeist is at any given time. You know, you know, you got there before blockbusters, you're still there after blockbusters, as it were. Lance, if you will, I mean, just finish off your story about the history of the business. I'm interrupting you.
I was always keen in business. I did economics at school, as A level. I always fancied going into the city because a lot of friends worked there, and I thought, you know, my ideal job was going to be a stockbroker. I went and did a four-year business studies degree in London, but came home weekends and during the week of lectures to work in the business and basically earn some money so I could afford to stay at uni. So I finished there in 86, and then 87 I went into partnership with my father, 87, 88, more or less on the basis, I feel as though I was a little bit tricked, but I suppose I was a willing victim, telling him what he should do with his business and how he should grow it, and he said, well, you do it then. So that's how I ended up becoming a partner in the business.
Fantastic.
By then, we were doing well with high-end TV and audio, and Bang & Olufsen in particular, and they've came out with multi-room audio. I've actually been able to control audio in different rooms. So that was the first sort of foray, if you like, into doing, rather than just providing TVs and hi-fi systems and speakers, actually doing work and putting it into other people's houses, cabling. So it was our early days of bespoke systems.
But you see, I love that. I mean, I'm quite a bizarre person. I've worked in technology for 50 years, okay, and I'm useless at technology. Do you know what? I have to call my partner, Amanda. I go, Amanda, I want to watch the football. And she goes, yeah. I mean, can you put it on for me? And she goes, well, the controller's, I can't work it. She has to put the on for me because I can't work it. And that's how useless I am. But you know, one of the things I love about what you said is it is bespoke. You don't just flog someone a telly and say, there it is, get on with it. You know, you will come and install it, set up all the sound systems and everything.
I've been in a shop, and I mean, the service in the shop is just second to none, isn't it? You're so attentive of the people that go in there. And it's also finding what someone wants, which is, you know, probably why you survived over 100 years.
It's the joy of having specialists, isn't it? It's the joy of having people that are passionate about what they do, because that's where you can ask your daft questions, you get people that care, people that understand. You know, you go into a chain shop, you know, half the people don't even know, you know, you go, have you got a teller? You know, do you want 60 inch or 40 inch? And that's about the limit of their knowledge, really. So what you're looking at here are people that really know their stuff, and that makes such a big difference. So, Lance, you've kind of wheedled your way into this business.
So, just sort of bringing it a little bit further forward. So, late 80s, I was now a partner. So, firstly, I thought, you know, trying to be progressive and treat our business and reflect, in the name, so I've changed it from Potter Brothers or Potter Bros, but everyone abbreviated it to Potters because it sounded like a gentleman's outfitters to me, Potter Bros. So not really reflective of what we did. So, and it was the early days of digital, so came up with a name of Potter's Home Digital, where we are today. It's gone undergone minor brand changes, but that's where the name was born, really, from early 90s to where we are today.
Right.
So that sort of happened at the time that we moved premises, as I said, in 89, early 90s.
Yeah.
And then it was really, you know, identifying trends and making sure that we offered the best service. I used to study, I'd make sure I knew how every button and everything worked at the time.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't now, but I did at the time.
I'll call you. When I want to change channel, I'll call you, Lance. Yeah, Lance, it's Paul. I need to change channels, mate. Yeah. What button?
I'll go, Alex, how does Paul do that?
So Potter's evolved and carried on growing and adapting to the new environments that it found itself in over time. You have a traditional shop in the high street. You sell TVs and sound systems and audio and radios and all those kind of home entertainment things. But you also, I believe, offer a bespoke service in terms of cinema rooms and that kind of technology. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll move over to Alex in a moment. So,
he's going to let you get a word in a minute, Alex.
I am. He's going to get a lot of words in, don't worry. So throughout the 90s, we were selling high-end TV audio solutions, and Alex came to work for me early 2000s. As a Saturday boy, because we were very busy on a Saturday at the time, and stood out quite quickly.
Right.
So very good.
You don't want to do it like that, Lance. You know what you're doing, mate. Don't press that button.
he obviously had a very good teacher, so that did help. And Alex then became very interested in the business, and he's been very much at the forefront of how things have moved forward in the noughties and in the tens.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'll let Alex explain how things have changed in the last 20 years.
Thank you, Lance. Good. Always go back to the history.
Yeah.
But to continue, it's exactly that. And it's building upon a consumer electronics business.
Right.
Operating from a high street, serving the local community, but wanting to have that edge, wanting to continue to offer our expertise on a bigger platform. Lance touched on the fact we always stayed abreast of current technologies, and that's a big reason of why we've been successful.
Sure.
It's looking for those new opportunities, looking for those new technologies coming to the market, and seeing how we can put them best within our offering, but while enhancing the way that our clients use those products and enhancing their lives and lifestyles. And that is sort of all wrapped up in a couple of phrases that are well known today, such as the smart home or home automation. And it's these areas of the business which are vast, and that there's lots of scope just to deliver a home cinema, as you say, or through to the multi-room audio solutions that Lance touched on, through to lighting control. Controlling both artificial and natural light with window treatments such as blinds and automated curtains, networks and Wi-Fi, security, access control, sort of the list goes on and on and on. But it's our job, the way I see it, is to not just sell boxes. That's not what we're about. We're about having that conversation with the clients from that early point of engagement and discussing what they're trying to achieve and designing a system that is right for them and their homes to, going back to what I say, to enhance the way they live and their lifestyle.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this a new revolution, just with simple products like Alexa and Echo and smart speakers, as a radio station, we've already had a massive impact on that. Something like 27% of radio listeners now listen via Alexa You can listen to Channel Radio. You just say, Alexa, play Channel Radio, and there we are. You have to enable the skill first, apparently. But,
anyway. I'll tell you what I love, Paul. I love the way that you said that you listen to the customer and what it is they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Because that's a major thing that, you know, really every business should be doing, because a lot of customers actually don't know what they want to achieve.
Absolutely.
They're coming to you with one thing, and then when they start talking to you, you realise it's actually something else they're actually looking for.
And in our industry, it couldn't be more true, because also nobody knows what's possible.
Yeah.
That's the big side of what we do. It's educational. It's telling people, do you know this is available? Did you know you could do it this way?
And then you get dummies like me. This is going to make you laugh. I decided to put smart light bulbs in the downstairs, right? So I went and bought a load of smart light bulbs, and I screwed them all in, tried to link them all to my Wi-Fi. And do you think I could get them to come on? You know, the thing I wanted was them to change colour. That's the pretty thing I wanted. And then eventually I wanted them to come on and off when I wasn't there. Yeah, that was my idea. So I screwed all these bulbs in. It took me hours to link them to the Wi-Fi. And they just didn't work. And I was getting more and more frustrated. And this is how frustrated I was. Eventually I read the manual, right? That's how frustrated I got. And when I read the manual, it said, please note, these bulbs do not work with BT Hub 4. What have I got? Right, okay. But I want to move on to something that I'm hanging my nose over, because I would love to have this, but I've got to save up and I've got to find a way to put it, which is a cinema room. And I want you to tell me what's happening with cinema rooms and media centres and all the rest of it. Where is that marketplace? What do I get and how do I do it?
Well, it's such a great room to work on.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a client who says, I'm looking for a cinema room, it's great, because you can put a lot of focus and attention on one room and you can really make that one room something special. So initially it's having a discussion about how you're going to use the room. Is this a lounge environment, or is this going to be a dedicated room?
Right.
So we can quickly get the balance of what we call either a media room or a dedicated cinema room.
Right. Is that how you work out the difference between those two?
Yeah. Exactly that. Okay. Exactly that. Because if it's a lounge environment which needs to be multi-purpose, then of course we don't want to be talking about blacking out the whole room and putting big projectors and speakers in place. So we have solutions that can be considerate to the environment and hidden and discreet, which blends nicely with a lounge. Mm. Whereas if you want the real cinematic immersive experience, a dedicated cinema is the one to go for. You're not going to beat the sort of performance that you can get from that. In terms of, you know, what's new with home cinema, we've had a lot of advances in technologies, and the way cinema rooms have been sort of configured and used has changed a lot recently. We've had the invention of Dolby Atmos, which is to do with more speakers but from the ceiling, so it adds a height channel to the surround sound experience. So that's had a really good impact on creating a really immersive room.
Right.
Through to streaming, you touched on it earlier about Alexas and smart products. Streaming has had just as big an impact in our industry for video content. So the likes of Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus now, or even Apple TV on board. So making sure we understand what the clients have and bring those services into their cinema room. But it also is still worth making sure they're aware of performance. So yes, all these platforms exist and they're getting better and better, but they are still compromising on performance because you're streaming.
All right. Yeah.
So the true performance is still going to be by buying that Blu-ray disc.
Yeah.
So it's finding that balance and getting the best product, depending on the use case.
Yeah. It blows me away, all of this. And, I've seen some of the products and stuff that you guys have got and some of the things that you've installed, and I just go, I want that. But I want to ask an even dumber question and all the other things. And coming right back, as you may have noticed, I'm partially deaf, which is a bit of a drawback for a radio presenter, but there you go. And one of the problems I have is I very rarely watch TV these days because I can't hear it, and I can't hear it very well, unless I turn it right up, and then everybody else in the room goes, oh, for God's sake, turn that down. Now, I did some Google research on some of it, and they were saying that a lot of TV production companies now have really poor sound quality anyway, especially the American ones. But also, most TVs have the speakers on the back. Yeah, which is a bit weird because I've got a wall-mounted TV, so basically the speakers are talking to the wall. What do I do about that?
Well, it's funny you should say that. And yes, over years, like, you know, that's been a massive compromise on TVs, which is why people have obviously bought soundbars to try and get over that. But really, in the last year or two, there's been an awareness from all the major consumer electronics manufacturers about this problem, exactly what you're saying. So, and with the development particularly of OLED, which is much slimmer than LED, they're able now to put the speakers behind the screen, so they emanate from the screen. So you're now getting sound from the screen rather than just the speakers at the back, which have now become, tend to be the subwoofers, the ones that give the bass and everything else. And there are adjustments on literally TVs last year and certainly this year where you can tweak up the voice or center channel, but particularly the voice, to help compensate that. So you're certainly not alone.
Do you hear that, man? We're going to get a new telly.
Great reason to upgrade.
So what
there's never a reason not to upgrade.
Exactly. So what is it I'm looking for, Lance?
It's very prevalent on OLED televisions. In particular, Sony do a very good job with that because they do very good speaker systems on their OLED TVs. We could provide that, obviously, for you, Paul.
But you might as well have a cinema room while you're at it.
I mean, shouldn't I?
You know, what's the point of having a new TV?
Might as well got a whole hog. You're right.
Yeah.
But saving all of that, the first thing is maybe get a soundbar.
My mum's got a soundbar.
Really?
But what she finds is that sometimes she can't hear it because the soundbar is turned off and can't get down to turn it on.
You make sure
your soundbar is in the right place so you can reach it to turn it on.
That's fantastic. That's really interesting.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
So with all the people that are, you know, doing their own filming and all these people that are doing all their own things for social media and stuff like that, are TVs actually filming as well as view, you know, can you view a TV like from a computer? They've got a camera in it. Are TVs doing anything like that now? Is that not something?
Yes and no. Voice control, coming back to that, has become a big part of today's integration and a way of control. There are television solutions and more so camera add-on products that will allow you to maybe catch up the family, have that family video call directly from your sofa, and the television becomes the screen to that. But I wouldn't say the television itself is a form of content creation.
It's interesting, actually. I'm a director of Age UK, Medway, and we have a service, it's an add-on box, we have a service called Spark TV, which does actually make your TV interactive. So it's basically... it's like using social media, but if you if our old people have it in their house, they can actually talk to each other via the TV.
Yeah.
And the reason we did that is because I had nothing to do with it, but the people that invented this solution for us, it's because people in their 80s and so on just aren't familiar with new technology, but they are familiar with TVs. So they have this community program that they can actually just talk to the TV and interact with it, but it is a separate box and a whole set of stuff that requires the internet to use.
I think something that's particularly useful in the last months, if not year, in getting to people to engage, you can now literally, people are worried about, you could share your content from your phone to the TV, but people don't know how to do that. See, most TVs, up-to-date technology TVs, you can actually just tap your phone on the side of the screen and it'll bring up what's on your phone. There you go. So as long as you can actually physically get out your armchair and touch your screen.
It's a bit scary.
You'll be able to share it.
It's a bit scary sometimes. I just bought an Apple Watch, and I'm sat talking to my old mum the other day, and all of a sudden the watch started trying to interpret what I was saying to her. Stop it.
I'm working in Elle's computer at the moment, and every time she gets a text, it comes up on the screen. I'm like, is that for me? No.
Right, in the last few minutes of talking to you, and it's been a fascinating discussion, but I want to move on to a new thing that you're doing. And you guys kindly invited me to an open event at your premises in Tenterton, where you showed me into your garden.
Indeed.
Why don't you tell us about that? Because that is fascinating.
Sure. No, thank you. Well, it was quite some time ago now. Lance and I, after one of our business meetings, thought and discussed what could we do with our outdoor space.
Right.
We weren't really utilising it. We had a little bit of product out there, but it was very underused.
Right.
We then reached out to a Chelsea of Albany landscape designer that we both knew, and started the ball rolling in exploring what we could do with the garden space.
Right.
Fast forward 3 years, we're proud to have now opened and launched what is called the Smart Home Garden. It is a industry first cross collaboration of both the home automation, our electrical sector, right, and the landscape sector, where we have worked with partners on both sides to produce bespoke products and produce not just the UK's but a European first space that is a smart garden.
Wow.
That encompasses everything from home technology that we know from indoors and allows us to bring those services to the outdoor spaces. And of recent times, COVID and the likes, it's only amplified that sector.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I came and saw your garden. I was blown away for it. You've got an outdoor TV.
Cinema,
yeah, which is stunning. And yours came with a kind of wrought iron slidey doors. Press the button again. So you had this outdoor cinema, which is weatherproof?
Indeed, yeah. The approach has always been design first,
yeah.
So it's hidden, right, as you've seen.
Yeah.
So the garden or the technology comes to life at the press of one button. Paul,
as long as you say it's this one, Paul.
There's a bespoke remote and a bespoke control solution, yeah, so you can't get it wrong.
Right.
It is cinema time, and yeah, the screens, the metal screens, open. A waterproof television reveals itself, and a full immersive surround sound cinema, which is discreetly hidden in planting and into raised flower beds.
This is absolutely, you've got to see it, Linda. It's absolutely staggering. You know, not only have you got the cinema, but you've got the sound systems and lighting systems, as Alex says, buried in the flower beds. Yeah, I mean,
can I ask just, what size? Yeah. What's the smallest garden you'd be able to fit in?
Just a very, very small patio. We've done a lot of waterproof TVs just above a hot tub.
Oh, wow.
I bet.
Imagine it above a hot tub.
It's an absolutely fabulous extension in what you're doing, and because of its weatherproofness, you know, one of the problems we have in this country, the weather's normally pretty rubbish, and you know, luckily we've got the summer at the moment, but because it's weatherproof, it makes it more usable all year round. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, people have started to realise that the garden was the room they'd forgotten about in their home.
Yeah.
And that's what COVID has really brought out.
Mm.
And
yeah,
we all know about the boom in landscaping and building. Everyone was doing up their gardens.
Yeah. And putting in home offices and
exactly.
I'll tell you what it works well with as well. So I was talking to a company that do the glass doors, mm-hmm, that literally have got no border. And they, when they open up, you can be indoors. So even if it is raining,
yeah,
but you could still have that cinema effect.
Exactly.
It would be, really cool.
The possibilities and the options are endless. Mm. I mean, obviously, we talked about just our outdoor,
yeah,
cinema space. But we have a garden office, which is exactly that, talking about the boom in working from home and people building garden rooms, but making it multi-purpose. So it doesn't have to just be about work as an office environment. Just, again, a touch of a button, we can transform that space to be in a cozy, relaxing space.
Now, this is a fairly new thing, although it's been 3 years in the planning, which you know, is really impressive that you're that far ahead of the curve, that you thought about it then to kind of bring it now. How's that going? Is it something that there's a massive demand for, or is it something that you're gradually introducing to the market and saying, have you thought about this?
A little bit of both. I mean, when we came up with the idea, you're right, we were early, and we did think about it. And then the likes of COVID happened. But while we were actually coming up with the ideas, we did a lot of research. We lent on some of our manufacturers from the US who undertook their own surveys in the US. Generally, in the UK, we follow sort of a 1 to 2 years just behind the US in terms of adoption of new technology. So we knew this was coming because we saw a lot of outdoor products coming to the market. So we worked with them to understand some of the surveys they had done, which was to reaching out to people who were looking to do a new landscape renovation project.
Right.
And they asked them, what are the top 10 things you're looking or would consider during this effort? Number one was lighting. Number four was audio. Number five was video. Number seven was Wi-Fi. And even in the top 10 was wireless charging. So the amount of technology that sat in their top 10 items for consideration just stood out as this is coming and it's going to be mainstream. Then while we were in the build in COVID, the global number one TV manufacturer Samsung brought out an outdoor waterproof TV.
Wow.
So if there was ever a statement that we were onto something here,
those two things vindication combined, big time.
Those two things combined just stamped that this is coming, and an outdoor technology is going to be coming and be with us for a long time.
I actually love the fact that you've collaborated with a lot of businesses on that. So with the business you've collaborated with, how many of them would you say are local and how many of them are?
From the UK to the US. But in terms of true sort of collaborations, the Smart Home Garden is a collaboration with Oakmore Green. Oakmore Green are a Chelsea award-winning design team fronted by Laura Anstis. So that allows us to have a complete turnkey offering from initial walkthrough of the immersive space through to design and then implementation of the whole garden, but incorporating technology throughout. So the collaborations at the forefront is obviously ourselves, Potter's Home Digital and Laura, to offer that complete solution. But then we've partnered very closely with manufacturers and sectors in both our industry and the landscape sector, such as London Stone, who are a market leader in the supplying of natural stone paving in the UK, through to another market leader for diverse stone materials, a company called All Green Group, who we actually worked with and collaborated with them and a speaker partner from the US to create what we've now coined the Smart Bench. It's a product in itself, which was being embedded with speakers and a lighting underneath, so it looks like it's floating. And we worked as a freeway collaboration to bring this product to the market.
Wow. That's just amazing. Wow. That's it's brilliant. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it good?
Really,
yeah, want one. It's fantastic. Listen, chaps, it's been fascinating hearing from you and finding out about all of this stuff. And we love the sound of it. But also, as a business, we like how you've gone from, flogging cars and bits and pieces in 1913 right up and to leading the market. I think that's the thing that really encourages me, is how you're always ahead of the curve looking at what's next and not scared to move. So many businesses get locked, they make a success of something and they get locked into it. Blockbusters was a classic example of that. They did phenomenally well, missed the trick with everything moving online until they got to the point where they lost their business model completely.
Absolutely.
Whereas you've innovated all the way down over those 100 years. That's fantastic. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out more about Potter's Home Digital, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. Thank you. Please follow us on our social channels, both Potter's Home Digital and the Smart Home Garden, and look on our websites, home-digital.com and thesmarthomegarden.com.
Fantastic. Those links are on the Kent Business Radio website. They'll stay there forever. So if you want to find out about any of those, do follow them. For the moment, guys, thank you so much. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a minute. When we come back, do stay with us. We're going to talk to our second guest and co-host, Linda Cloak. But I tell you what, we've got a minute or so before the news. So let me just catch up a little bit with Twitter. What's on in Kent has been on Can we have a shout out, please? We're big supporters of the Business Bunker Show. Yeah, thank you. Do download their app, What's On in Kent. It's an app that tells you everything that's happening in the county, and it's a really fantastic app. Do check it out. It's a free app to use, and there's loads of updated information, which is going to be especially useful during the summer holidays if your kiddies are off school or whatever, so that you know what's going on. I've also had a tweet from the lovely Lisa Settle. It's a great show. Hope you're keeping cool. I take it Jill Serkin is swigging sangria in the sun. Of course she is, Lisa. You know her.
She's actually watching her new husband.
She's watching her new husband, yeah.
Doing some wind sailing.
I'm just trying to catch up. Oh, Jules is on now. Yeah, anyway, we'll read some of those later on. But it's probably that time when we join the Channel Radio newsroom now. As I say, when we come back, we probably talk to some more to Alex and Lance, but we're definitely going to talk to Linda. So do stay with us. But let's go over to the Channel Radio newsroom.
The Business Bunker